We'll open in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1.
Matthew chapter 1. How many of you still believe in Christmas miracles? I'm going to do my best to have us dismissed here in about 15, 18 minutes. Well, you're all laughing at me. I should be offended. I'd be laughing if I was there too. But I would like to look into the Word of God. This is Christmas. This is the day we celebrate that Jesus came from heaven and came to the earth. It's a very awesome day. It's a day that should fill our hearts with great wonder. Not at the presents that I'm wondering what I'm going to get, but great wonder that God should love the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Matthew chapter 1, I want to read only one verse, verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this prophecy fulfilled here in Matthew chapter 1, prophesied originally in the book of Isaiah, several centuries before its fulfillment. And Father, just as we consider just a few brief thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we have the Old Testament prophecy that when the Son of God was to be born, His name would be Emmanuel. Now, I don't know if you have ever considered that, but it's really quite curious. Because we find that when Jesus was born, He was not named Emmanuel, was He? He was named Jesus. And so why does God tell us here that His name would be Emmanuel? I think what God is trying to tell us is that not so much would He be called Emmanuel by His name as He's addressed, but that He would be called Emmanuel because that, in fact, characterizes His person. That Jesus Christ was, in fact, God with us. And I'd like to just consider that thought for just a few moments this morning, the fact that God with man. God can be with us. We have the promise of God going back to the very time that Christ was born. And in fact, as I mentioned, back in Isaiah, many, many centuries before that, God told us that He would come and dwell among us as man. Over in John chapter 14, we see, and please turn there, we're not going to move back to Matthew chapter 1. We're dealing with that thought, God with us. In John chapter 14, we know that this is taking place near to the end of Jesus' life. He's in what we call the upper room, having celebrated the Passover, instituting through that Passover feast the Lord's table. And He's preparing His disciples for that time in just a few hours when He would be betrayed. And then a few hours after the betrayal would come the crucifixion. Jesus promised He would be God with them, that He would be with the disciples. But the fact is, we know that there came a point in time when Jesus was no longer walking among men. But in John chapter 14, first of all, in verse number 18, Jesus gives His disciples a promise. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. What a wonderful promise of God from this one whose name is Emmanuel, that though He would be leaving, He also would be coming to them again. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, in the Great Commission, Jesus assures us that He will never, that He will go with us or be with us always. In Hebrews chapter 13, we have the promise of God that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we have many, many promises of God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Emmanuel of God, will always be with us. God with us. What a great privilege is ours. What a great responsibility is ours. If God is with us, standing before us, then what must we do and how must we react? You see, so often we think that God is up in heaven, we're here on earth, there's this great gulf between us. We cannot pass over until God calls us home. We cannot see beyond this realm, and we lose sight of the fact that God is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Jesus Christ is with us at all times. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so, though He may not be visible in sight, we know that He is there. And so, as we keep that in mind, as we move throughout this world, and the wicked one comes to tempt us, we must always remember and never be forgetful of the fact that God is Emmanuel and He is with us. And when Satan comes to tempt us, we have that one with us, that Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us to help us resist that temptation, that we can live a righteous and holy life here in this world because Jesus is Emmanuel. And should we fall and should we stumble, we know that we have one that is there with us. He is a witness. How many times have you fallen prey to that temptation of Satan that says, no one else will see you do this? How many times have you fallen prey to that, and because that thought has passed through your mind, you've given in and you've sinned and you've done some things that you know you shouldn't have done? How many times have you fallen prey to that lie of the devil? Because there is always one that is there with you. His name is Emmanuel. We celebrate His birth on December 25th. We call Him Jesus. You see, He will never leave you. He never will forsake you. He will always be with you. And so there is always one there to witness whatever act you're doing. But you know that has not only those negative implications, but it has very positive implications. Because He knows what you'll be facing later on today. He knows what you'll be facing tomorrow. He knows what you'll be going through next week and next month. And He says that I know what you're going through. I can see what's going on. I understand your situation and I am here to help. I am here to help. Children understand that very well. I couldn't tell who you were holding that. Was that Kina? That was singing her own little chorus there with everybody else. She wanted that bottle. She knew that Daddy was there, that Daddy would never leave her or forsake her. And she had a need. Her belly was crying out for food. And Matt said, I'm here. Here you go. And met that need. You know, in a very simple way is illustrated for us this morning how our relationship with our Heavenly Father is. We're His children. And we just simply need to call out. And when we have that great need, when we're facing something in our lives that is a great struggle to us that we cannot resolve ourselves, we know that we have one who is there with us at that very moment that is there to reach out His hand. We don't have to wait on UPS or FedEx to bring the help. We don't have to wait for it to come in the mail. But we have it right here and right now because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. What a blessing is ours to know. And as Jesus told those disciples in John 14, that I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He told us that in the intervening time, backing up two verses, in verses number 16 and 17, He says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, and He that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so we're given the assurance there of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we could go to many, many verses that tell us of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we know that Jesus truly is Emmanuel, God with us. But you know, there's coming a time when we don't have to live by faith alone, isn't there? There's coming a time, as Jesus promised here in this verse, when He told them in verse 18, I will come to you, when Jesus is coming again, when Jesus will come visibly in the clouds for all those who know Him. And then we'll understand fully that term, Emmanuel, of our Savior. You see, He came the first time as a suffering Savior, but He's coming a second time as a reigning regent. He's going to come and He's going to rule and He's going to reign. He's going to call us up in the rapture. We're going to go and live with Him forever. 7 years in heaven during the tribulation period. But after that tribulation period is over, He's going to come and He's going to come and fight that campaign of Armageddon. And He's going to put down all foes, all opposition, all those who cause us so many difficulties and problems today. Those who say, let's get rid of the manger scenes. Let's get the Christmas songs out of the school demonstration of the school plays. Let's turn it from Christmas to holiday so that you can't say Merry Christmas. And we had pretty good success this past week. We had a number of cashiers say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, and I appreciated that. But we have those today that say you can't celebrate Christmas because you're going to offend some. But you know their day is coming when Christ comes again. They'll be at that battle of Armageddon if they survive those 7 years of terrible tribulation. Christ is coming again, and He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now just invisible with us spiritually. We see Him only through the eyes of faith, but then we'll see Him through the eyes of flesh. We'll see Him as we see one another. What a wondrous day, what a wondrous time that will be, and that time will be unbroken forever throughout all eternity. And so, this Christmas, as we see the manger scene out in the yards, always good to see those. Some people only have holiday decorations, some have Christmas. As we see the manger scene in yards, as we see it in our own houses, as we have the manger scene there and the decorations and the figurines, let us remember that that one in the manger, that little baby representing Christ, is Emmanuel, God with us, and He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And He has promised also that He is coming again. And so let's be prepared for that coming by worshiping Him and serving Him in the meantime. But first and foremost, assuring our time in heaven, assuring our relationship with Him. If you're here this morning and you don't know 100% for sure that you're going to heaven, then you are missing out on the greatest blessing that God has to give. The sole reason that Jesus came to earth as that baby was so that you would know 100% for sure you're going to heaven. The Bible tells in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save. He wants to save you today. And salvation means eternal, everlasting, no-so, 100% life. Just as 1 John tells us in chapter 5, what a wonderful passage of Scripture this is. Beginning in verse number 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Not that you may hope so, not that you may think so, but that you may know they have eternal life. If you don't know that this morning, you probably don't have eternal life. And there's no reason for that. That's why Jesus came, so that you might have it. And so we're going to have Stephen come and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you'd like to know for sure you have eternal life, 100% for sure, we just simply would invite you to step out of your seat, come to the front. We'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can have eternal life. If you know that you have eternal life, then we would invite you to adore and worship Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for Your Word that tells us of Jesus. Father, we know that even if we didn't have Your Word, the impact that Jesus made on mankind and on history, we would still be familiar with this person of Jesus. But we're grateful for Your Word that tells us that He is our Savior, that He died for our sins, and that simply through faith we can have eternal life. The work has been done. Nothing left to do, nor that we can do to gain eternal life, other than trusting, simply trusting, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.